In collaboration with the Alameda County Bar Association, this is Love Thy Lawyer, where we talk with members of the ACBA about their lives and legal careers. I'm Lewis Goodman, the host of the LTL podcast, and yes, I'm a member of the Alameda County Bar Association.
All right, well, welcome everybody to today's ACBA and the criminal section event. So we're going to have an interview today with our interviewer, Lewis Goodman, and then our interviewee today, Joanna Neal. I'd like to thank our sponsor today for this event. So this program is sponsored by Premier Bail Bonds, and they're helping to make this program and others happen. So I'll hand it over to Lewis to get us started.
Can you give us the sponsor's information?
Yeah, sure. So the sponsor contact information is Ryan Leary. So his number is 408-482-7822. And you can email him at Ryan, that's R-Y-A-N, at bail.com.
My name is Lewis Goodman. I'm the host of the Love Thy Lawyer podcast. And we are doing this podcast in conjunction with the Alameda County Bar Association as part of the ongoing Barristers Club Get to Meet the Attorneys and Judges program. Today, we're very happy to have one of our attorneys in Alameda County. She is admitted in both California and Florida. She started her career in the Sacramento County District Attorney's Office. She prosecuted hundreds of misdemeanor and felony offenses. Then she moved into the world of civil litigation, where she tried cases as a creditor's rights attorney. More recently, she formed and now heads her own firm, helping clients navigate the difficulties of the criminal justice system. She passionately and tenaciously fights for fairness. Joanna Nieves, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It really is a privilege to have you. You are certainly, in my view, one of the real up-and-coming stars of the private practice in Alameda County. Where is your office located right now?
It's at 160 Franklin Street, Suite 210, which is in Jack London Square, right across from where Kincaid's used to be. So we have a really good view of the marina.
Now, if someone wants to find you online, how would they go about doing that?
You can find us online at www.thenievislawfirm.com.
And we'll make sure we get that in the show notes as well. How long have you been practicing law?
About a decade. So June 2011.
Where are you from originally?
Originally from Miami, from Florida. I grew up there. I did my undergrad there. I went to law school in Florida, and then now I'm a transplant.
So where did you go to high school, in Miami?
Yeah, I went to a school. It's called School for Advanced Studies. They basically take all of the top performers, invite them to a school where you do dual enrollment. So I did high school in the afternoon, college in the day, and graduated with pretty much an associate's degree by the time I went to college.
So you've been a top performer for a long time.
I'm competitive.
What sort of activities did you enjoy doing in high school?
Wow. I did karate and I played piano.
After you graduated from high school, where did you go to college?
Florida State.
And where's that located?
In Tallahassee, Florida.
What was that experience like for you?
It was one of the best times of my life. It was so good. I went back again. I did two undergraduate degrees. I did a dual degree program while I was there, one in multinational business, and my second degree was in finance. And then after I graduated, I took a year off and I went back for law school.
What sort of activities were you involved in when you were an undergrad?
Oh, a lot. I was president of the Multicultural Greek Council. I was parliamentarian and social chair for my sorority, Beta Nu Xi Multicultural Sorority Incorporated. I was involved in the Hispanic Student Union. I was working. I worked three jobs at all times. I was constantly doing something. And then I went to class.
And you went to class too.
Somehow that happened.
So you graduated and then you took a year off. What did you do during that year?
I was really young when I graduated. So I got my first degree at 19. I got my second degree at 20. I was just really unsure of what I wanted to do with my life. And I didn't know I was going to go to law school. So I worked. I had a job at a bank and I was working there. And I had two sorority sisters who were studying for the LSAT. And I was like, you know what? I'll just take this with you guys. And I registered. And the day before the LSAT, I like cracked the book open and was like, all right, let me see what this test is all about. And then I went and took it. And it turned out, out of the three of us, I was the one who ended up going to law school and becoming a lawyer. So
when was the first time that you really started thinking about going to law school or becoming a lawyer?
It was after that. You know, I thought I was going to go to the military.
And you went back to Florida State for law school?
I did. And the funny story with that is I actually applied to University of Florida, which at the time was ranked just a little bit higher than Florida State. And I applied. I tell people I applied just to turn them down because I got accepted, but we're such fierce rivals and I'm a double null. So I was like, yeah, I got into UF and I said no.
How did it differ being in law school at Florida State versus being an undergraduate at Florida State?
I had to change. It became far more regimented. I needed to read. I needed to study. I needed to retain this information because it was all based on, you know, your scores and your passing grades were all based on one exam at the end of the semester. You know, it wasn't these like midterms or you write a paper and you get a grade. It was just like, no, retain this knowledge, regurgitate it and pass. So it was different.
Once you got out of law school, what was your first legal job?
My first legal job was at SACDA. My second year of law school, I interviewed via video conference for an internship at the Sacramento County DA's office. And I got that as a summer internship my 2L year. At the end of that internship, I was offered a full-time position upon the completion of law school. So I went back to Florida, finished my third year.
How is it that you became focused on the Sacramento County District Attorney's Office from Tallahassee, Florida?
For some reason, they were doing OCIs at Florida State. And my intern class, so my LRA class, they were from all over. We had people from Notre Dame. We had somebody from Hofstra. So it seemed like Sacramento was just actively recruiting out of state for some reason.
Interesting.
And to me, it seemed like a fun experience. That's really what got it started. I was like, oh, summer in California, never been, let me go. And then it turned out that this is, you know, now my home for about 11 years.
After you were in Sacramento County District Attorney's Office, you tried some cases there, I take it?
Yes. Yeah, so most of my cases, like my jury trials, I did in the Second Judicial Circuit in Leon County, Florida. I did 4 jury trials and a bench trial while I was there. And in Sacramento, mostly what I did, I didn't do any jury trials in SAC that I can recall. I prepped a lot of jury trials, did a number of like 1538.5s and preliminary hearings, and then ran a calendar department or assisted in running a calendar department because, of course, I was still a newbie. And then I did a stint in the Consumer and Environmental Protection Department, working on a big case at the time.
At some point, you left the district attorney's office and you went into a civil practice. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we all got laid off. So yeah, it was huge budget cuts. Again, that was 2011. So we all know, you know, it was budget cuts for several years. First, they started with admin, then it became, you know, the legal staff, and it was a last in, first out type selection. And I was still on the misdemeanor team. We were let go. I moved down to San Diego and honestly just took the first job I could get, which was I had never thought I was going to do civil work ever, but that's the job that I got, and I was going to be able to be their trial attorney. And so I said, hey, let's do it. And I did that for about 2.5 years.
What sort of trials did you do?
So they were all creditors' rights bench trials. It kept me fresh and helped me learn a new area of law. And then I got to a point where I was like, okay, I've done all that I can do here, and this is not where my passion is.
So in following your passion, what did you do?
I decided, you know, well, the only way for me to get back into criminal law is to create my own thing. And I was also having a lot of conversations with a family member who has their own medical practice. She's an OBGYN. And she said, you know, the one thing I regret about opening up my own practice was not doing it 3 years earlier. And I knew that the only way that I could be the master of my own domain was to create it. So I left and I did that.
And you came to the Bay Area to do that?
Yeah, well, actually, shortly before coming to the Bay Area, I was sent to the Bay Area by the firm to run the satellite office. And so then this is just where I ended up laying roots. And also I met my husband here. So then I decided to stick around.
So you decided at some point to open your own firm. Tell us about the beginnings of that.
You know, at first it was just a thing to, one, get me back into criminal law. And I thought to myself, look, I'll just be happy if I'm making the same thing I was making at this civil firm. And it wasn't much, you know, it was just like, I just want to have a salary and see where it goes, and kind of treating my business more like a hobby than a business. And then eventually that turned into a systematized plan to grow the business.
How did you develop that system to grow the business?
I wrote it all down. Wrote everything down. So, you know, in terms of like establishing my pricing on cases, well, what do I do on a case from beginning to end? And like every single step that I take on a case is written down. How much time does it take to do that? So I made a business plan that covers all areas, marketing, sales, measuring, you know, how do I measure my success, my metrics and finances and my factory? Like, where am I setting up, and what kind of staff do I need? What kind of furnishing and supplies do I need? I mean, everything is written down on paper.
Did you develop that skill for writing things down as part of growing up in a military family and being very academically oriented?
No, it was definitely, I invested a lot of time in attending, you know, various business conferences and, you know, getting business coaching, talking to people who had grown their business, because there was a switch, you know, at one point it came, you know, for me, it was like, okay, I want to grow my business.
Is all of your business criminal law?
The majority, yes.
It strikes me that you really give a lot of thought to what you do, how you do it, and how you practice law. I'm wondering what you really like about practicing law.
So I think at first what I really, well, not I think, I it's changed. Things have changed over the years. At first, I loved being in court. I mean, it was all about like, okay, if you don't give me what I want to go to trial and I'm going to try this case. You know, that's just what I was used to doing. And I got like this rush out of it. Now the focus has really been on less about me getting that rush and more about like, what's the best outcome for the people around me. And I think in terms of what I love about practicing law right now is post-conviction. I love anything that has to do with me being able to undo essentially the mistakes or the judgments that have been passed on people from their past and help them get, you know, benefits for the future.
Now, one of the things you do is you give back to the community. And since this is an Alameda County Bar Association event, tell us a little bit about your activities with the Alameda County Bar Association.
You know, interacting with the Alameda County Bar Association, I think back in 2013, when I first moved up here, and then I started thinking about going out on my own, because my entire network from, you know, childhood friends to college friends, law school friends, everything was back in Florida. And I figured the only way that I can get to know people is to join the Bar Association and become involved. So I started with the barrister section, just, you know, attending the meetings and then becoming an executive committee member, becoming the chair, and then eventually serving on the board of directors for the organization as a whole. I'm still on the board of directors now. And I also participate in some other activities with the Bar Association, like the Judicial Appointments Evaluation Committee. I'm the past chair of that committee as well.
Do you have some judicial aspirations of your own?
Not at all. I have been asked that over and over again. I like what I do too much. And I have a hard time hiding what's on my face. And I don't think I'll pass muster when it comes to the judicial temperament part.
You've really taken a real leadership role when it comes to women in the law and women in business. I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it's empowering, you know, for everybody. I really believe knowledge is power, and it's empowering to empower others. And I think that when I look back to what I had or what I didn't have access to when I was growing up, and it wasn't that I was raised in like a low socioeconomic area or household. It was just that my parents were very focused on go to school, do good, go to school, do good. But there wasn't anything after that high school. There wasn't anything about like, where should you apply to college? What do you do? And so now I'm really invested in, you know, I get invited to speak on women in leadership calls. I just did one about 2 weeks ago. I've spoken with the ABA, Women in Criminal Justice Task Force. And I think it's important to invest in those areas where you could have benefited from if you had the opportunity.
If a young person was thinking about law as a career choice, would you recommend it?
I think it depends on what they want to do. I think you really, I personally only believe that being a lawyer is fun if you go to trial or if, you know, when you're litigating and you're in court and you've got these substantive motions and it's just like something really good to chew on. I wouldn't want to be a lawyer if all I was going to do was sit behind a desk and draft contracts, but to each their own.
How is practicing law met or differed from your expectations about it?
I think I didn't expect to enjoy it as much as I did.
Is there anything that you know now that you wished you knew before you started practicing law?
Open your business sooner.
What's the best advice that you've ever received?
Well, you know, obviously the one that I mentioned in terms of, you know, starting a business 3 years earlier, because I wholeheartedly agree with that. And, you know, I would say that it really just comes from a lot of reading that I do. I believe that, well, maybe this first part is the advice that has translated to the rest. Leaders are readers. So for me, I invest so much time and energy in reading books about business and reading books about marketing and sales and rainmaking and all of this stuff, because it's like, I think it's important to understand it.
Do you think the legal system's fair?
Do you want me to elaborate?
A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. No, I think that maybe some things are well-intentioned, but it's not fair.
I'm going to shift gears here a little bit. What's your family life like and how has practicing law affected that?
Sure. Family life is good. I think that now, you know, because I focused on building the business side of what I'm doing, it has given me the opportunity to do things that I hadn't even imagined, you know, the amount of travel that I do and the time that I can take away from work and spend with my family. I just had a baby in the pandemic. And so that's really been a blessing. And I think my family life in general has been great and has benefited from me focusing on taking my business from a hobby. Well, taking my practice from a hobby to a business.
This podcast is presented and supported by the Alameda County Bar Association. ACBA provides a wide range of certified continuing legal educational programs, networking opportunities, and social events. If you are a member of ACBA, thank you. If you are not yet a member, we hope you will consider joining this organization that is by, for, and in support of practicing attorneys. And now, back to our interview. Let's say you came into some real money, say $3 or $4 billion. What, if anything, would you do differently in your life?
I'd sell my business and I don't know if I would do anything differently, except, yeah, it wouldn't be different. It'd just probably be more. Like, I'd travel more, probably on a private jet, so I don't have to worry about anybody else. And I would buy more property. Right now we have 3 houses. I would buy more. And I plan on buying a house in Cambridge because my daughter's going to Harvard. And I probably donate more you know, because I do a lot of charitable contributions and support, sponsor more. I think it would just be a more thing. Take the things that I'm doing and magnify it.
If you had a magic wand that could wave it over the legal system or the world in general, change one thing with that magic wand, what would that be?
I think it would be people's hearts, because I think a lot can be done with softening of people's hearts. And it doesn't mean that you're a soft person or a pushover. I think I'm a very assertive and aggressive litigator when I need to be. But I also think that there is room for understanding people for, you know, who they are, recognizing that everybody makes mistakes, whether you're on a DA's in a DA's office or a PD's office or private practice, whatever it is, everybody's made mistakes. So just softened hearts.
I'd like to open this up to have people who are on the call ask a question or make a comment. How about Mike? Mike Spencer, you've been here for a while. Have anything you would like to ask Joanna?
I just wanted to, because of your experience, and I work in criminal defense as a private investigator, and it's a very complicated question. Who needs to serve time in prison?
Right. And, you know, if we were talking about a different thing about like whether or not prison should exist and if we should just do away with all of that, I think that's a different answer. But do I think like long sentences are necessary? No.
Lisa Simmons, are you there? Lisa,
hi. I have two questions for you, Joanna. The first one is, what's the highest degree belt you got in karate? And the second one is, where are you going to be in 5 years? Where do you see yourself personally and professionally?
Yeah. So I stopped karate when I was in high school. And I think I was like a green belt, if I remember. And my 5 years, I definitely see myself expanding. And in 5 years, I contemplate, I know I'm going to expand further throughout the state of California. I contemplate whether or not by then I'll be in Florida as well. I am barred in Florida. I've never actively taken cases there. I just did it for the sake of that's where I grew up and if ever I needed to go back. So that is something that's on my radar, but I think expansion is the easy answer.
Richard Gallardo, you have a question for Joanna?
Hi, Joanna. I don't think we've actually met, but I have seen you in court from time to time. I work with options and premier bail. What do you see with the pandemic and how that affects Alameda County in particular on the out of custody situation? What changes do you see down the road and how can out of custody programs like EMP play a part in the future?
You know, I wish that, I'll start with this. I wish that it was utilized more. I think, you know, for instance, on gun cases, right? DA's offices always want 120 days minimum on, you know, in custody time on their gun cases. For what reason? I don't know why they came to this 120 day number. It's ridiculous. But I think that, you know, when you think about, hey, we're in the middle of a pandemic. Now is as good a time as any to give somebody electronic home detention or, you know, have them on monitoring. It should be used more. I do think Alameda is doing a really good job compared to some other counties that I practice in terms of the availability of information, their, you know, newly developed app that they have, you know, the way that they have utilized Blue Jeans to keep cases moving. I think the county is doing well, and I hope that that is something that they continue to leverage in the future.
Great. Thank you.
Taylor Mowdy, are you available? Taylor,
I am. Good afternoon.
Hi, Taylor.
Hi.
Hi, Taylor.
I'm curious to know, based on what I hear is an experience, extensive experience on being a business owner, being a sole proprietor, or at least a sole practitioner in building your own law business. And so too, even your humanitarian objectives and those sort of qualities to you as a person, what would be a good alternative, or not alternative as in the terms of this or that, but in addition to practicing criminal defense and wanting to achieve a humanitarian objective, what other areas of law would you see a sole practitioner expanding into?
I think for me, if I was to ever expand into an area, and I don't see myself doing it, but I have definitely contemplated immigration law because I do think that it there's so much crossover with what I do already. The underlying goals of, you know, helping people achieve like a brighter future and achieve their goals is something that I'm like really focused on. I mean, every single client I have, I ask them like, what are your goals? Not just with this case, but with the future, right? And so I think that that is something that I could accomplish with immigration as well.
Joanna Nieves, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon on the podcast for the Alameda County Bar Association in conjunction with Love Thy Lawyer. We are unfortunately out of time, but thank you very much for being here. It's really been a fun discussion, and thanks to the other individuals who have been on the call.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That's it for today's edition of Love Thy Lawyer in collaboration with the Alameda County Bar Association. Please visit the lovethylawyer.com website where you can find links to all of our episodes. Also, please visit the Alameda County Bar Association website at acbanet.org where you can find more information about our support of the legal profession, promoting excellence in the legal profession, and facilitating equal access to justice. Special thanks to ACBA staff and members, Kaylin Dalen, Saeed Randall, Hadassah Hayashi, Vincent Tong, and Jason Leong. Thanks to Joel Katz for music, Brian Matheson for technical support, and Tracy Harvey. I'm Lewis Goodman.
I started my counseling back when I was a bartender.